Well, good morning. Good to be back here with you. Real quickly, I heard a political pundit recently on the news. I guess he was going to make some political statement or other. And he said, well, if Jesus was alive today, why are y'all here?
He's alive.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, dude, He's always near. I'm not advocating to put dude in there. Y'all help me with this part. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's weary way. He lives.
He lives.
Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Boy, if Jesus was alive today, He is. He is. Not my subject at all, but I had to share that with you. I serve a risen Savior. That being said, let me get a little negative here and tell you that sometimes positive people annoy me. People like Joe Nettles, y'all know. People that don't recognize my situation, and they come around, you know the folks. Cheer up, buddy. Cheer up. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I want to talk about situational faith. And the lesson is, stop letting your situation dictate your faith. Amen. I want to look at four instances. The first one in Matthew chapter 9. I'm just kidding about that positive people annoying me, by the way. Because the one I'm going to talk about is very positive.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to omit some of this on purpose, so when you hear it, don't think, hey, he's losing it. He left out the best part. I want to do this on purpose and come back to it. But in Matthew chapter 9, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, crumpled up, couldn't get himself there. Somebody had to carry him where he was going. And Jesus, seeing their faith, wow, said unto the sick of the palsy, cheer up, buddy. That's what he said. Son, be of good cheer. Now stop right there. Don't read ahead. Who is he talking to? There's a guy crumpled up like a ball, crippled with palsy. And he has the audacity to say, be of good cheer. He's still down there. He's telling him, in your situation. Did y'all catch that?
Yes.
In your situation. Be of good cheer. Be happy.
Amen.
Be of good cheer. Skipping to verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said unto them, said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. By the way, I don't care if you talk within yourselves, Jesus knows anyway. Y'all catch that? Jesus, knowing their thoughts, you can't outthink Jesus, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk, but that you may know the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house. You'll never guess what it says next. He got up. And he arose and departed to his house. He didn't tell him, be of good cheer after that. Did y'all catch that? He told him to be of good cheer in his situation. Wow. Wow, it's like Jesus doesn't know me at all. Want me to be of good cheer in my situation? Matthew chapter 14. This is kind of like the sitcoms you used to watch where it was always the same scenario. The dilithium crystals were fractured in the Enterprise and you know, Scotty's saying it may not work. Well, it worked last week. I mean that kind of thing. So we've got the disciples in trouble again. That's kind of what this is. It's kind of a thing. And about verse 22 of Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. By the way, if Jesus is our example, and praying's not beneath him, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, look how long he waits. He's letting them flop around down in there. He's letting them flop around and do their thing. For the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Let's just get that. Let's really think about that. Jesus walking on the sea. In the middle of a storm. What's that look like? Because, you know, we always see in the movies, we always just kind of see this. Well, I mean, you'll see a little bit of something going on, but you'll see this perfectly flat thing, and he's walking along. Anybody ever been near the ocean? You know, especially when it's all turbulent and everything. You know how when they have, like, storms down around, like, the Florida coast or whatever, and they always send that poor guy. I wonder if they like draw straws. They always send like that reporter that's got to go stand in it, and they're holding on to everything. And you see that stuff in the back doing this. Well, this is what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
This is chaos. This is chaos. You know, we watch a lot of documentaries on the Titanic. Big boat. It sank.
Right.
It sank. There's no boat bigger than the storm. That just don't make one. But I would rather be in a bigger boat than I would in a little one. And I think the one they're in is maybe just big enough for them.
Right.
But it ain't got a whole lot of room. It's not, hey, let's go to the east side of the boat and see if that's better. It's nothing like that. So they're in the middle of this storm. I mean, this thing is just, this is chaos. They're out there, I'm sure they're trying to do the best they can. There's guys out there with buckets trying to get water out of the boat, whatever the case is. You ever had that problem in your life? You ever just felt like you were taking on water?
Amen.
And I don't want to get personal here, but we had a lot of faith in 2019.
Wow.
Didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. We can actually say I missed the good old days now. Only a few years ago, we had a lot of faith in 2019. But then here's the storm. Here it is. And it's relentless. It's merciless. I mean, you ever just have the times in your life that you're just appealing to the thing? Just give me a little break. Just give me a little room. And it doesn't come. And the ship's in the middle. It's in the middle. It's not even, you know, if you could just see the shore, right? If you could see where you were going, if you could see like you're, well, we're almost there. You know, like you ever, never happened to any of y'all, but, you know, you let the tank run a little bit too low. And you're looking, and the little light started. The light came on a few miles back. But you see a sign that says Chevron, and you hope it's still open, that kind of thing. At least you can see the sign. You know, the car's starting to act up. They don't have any of that. That poor guy with the palsy, he didn't have any of that.
Right.
Yeah. Have any of that. I can't imagine. I can't imagine being stricken. You know, some folks are dealing with that now. They've been stricken with something, and some expert told them there is no cure. There is no cure for it. In the midst of the sea, storms going everywhere. Fourth watch. And the disciples see this thing. I mean, it's bobbing. He's bobbing up and down. By the way, you think Jesus got wet? You ever thought about things like that? You know?
No, he couldn't have. He's Jesus.
Well, he could have.
Right.
He's been hungry.
Weird.
In fact, in another boat, he's asleep in the bottom of it. When they say, "Care us not that we perish?" Remember that one? By the way, he does.
Amen.
He does. It's the only thing that got him up, wasn't it? Storm didn't wake him. One of his little children crying woke him up.
Amen.
I'm going to get to this. I'm getting there. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
You already got problems. You already got problems. I like to watch a lot of those supernatural ghost stuff. I don't believe in any of it. But it's just interesting to see how people respond to that. You know, the guy, and he's got the night vision on, and he's supposed to be in this haunted place, and he's walking around, and did you hear that?
Yeah.
That obviously was so-and-so. It couldn't possibly just be somebody knocking or the wind or something. And they're petrified of that. Well, these guys, every superstition, every little thing they've ever thought before comes to play. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they said, "Well, great." Nope. They were troubled. Say, it's a ghost. We're in the middle. Hey, I've heard legends around here about a haunted ocean and a haunted ocean liner, and it sank, and the folks that sank on it are still angry to this day, and here comes one of them. I mean, we're talking fear on top of fear on top of fear. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. By the way, there it is again. Here's his children. But straightway Jesus spake unto them. Cheer up, buddy. Wind hitting them in the face. I mean, some of them probably tied themselves to the boat, hoping they just don't go over with it, go down with it, or whatever the case is. Are you kidding us? Cheer up. Be of good cheer. Be a good cheer in your situation.
Yeah.
In your situation. Well, can't I just wait for my situation to change? And then maybe, you know, I'll be a good cheer later. No. So this thing bopping up and down says, "Cheer up, buddy." Skipping again. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Still a storm.
Right.
Don't forget this. And he said, "Come. Come. I don't sweat this. This ain't nothing for me." They don't make a storm bigger than Jesus, by the way. "Come," and Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. By the way, we always give Peter a hard time, don't we? Anybody else walked on water? Anybody else stepped out of a perfectly good boat into a storm? Anybody? I haven't. Peter did, didn't he? Only two men I know of ever walked on water, on liquid. Only two men I ever know of. Peter was one of those. He stepped out of that boat. Can you imagine that? By the way, I might have could have skipped after, but that first step? I mean, you're doing some of this. Can you imagine? So he's now bopping up and down. They're bopping up and down, still in the boat. Jesus is bopping up. There's a lot of bopping up and down going on, is what's happening. So he's walking to Jesus. By the way, good direction. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. One of my favorite verses, we have not been given the spirit of fear.
Amen.
But what spirit did we get? Adoption. Do you know you belong to somebody?
Amen.
We have not been given the spirit of fear. He was afraid. And see, I can't blame him. But Jesus said, cheer up, buddy. In this, cheer up right now. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. By the way, we often say this, but I don't suppose I have to. He's not asking to get to heaven, obviously. He doesn't want his lungs to fill up with water.
Right?
I don't think anybody else does either.
No.
And again, you ever notice how God reacts to his children? They cry out. He speaks to them. Peter cries out and immediately.
Yeah.
Lord, save me. By the way, the next verse says, and immediately. Jesus didn't let him bob for a minute. Let's see if he can get out of it. He knew that. He might do that with us, but he didn't hear. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, by the way, don't forget this. They're having a conversation in a storm in the middle of an ocean. These red letters take place with water slapping them both in the face. I don't think Jesus was impervious to getting wet. I think they're soaked. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This made me doubt. Wow. Mind-boggling. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The wind ceased. But when did he tell them to be of good cheer? In the storm. By the way, it's been a good while. I don't know how long this took, but it's been a good while since he said, cheer up, buddy. And we got... Because, by the way, you're in the storm and all of a sudden everything stops. All right, we're going to be okay. You're not supposed to think we're going to be okay after the storm. You're supposed to think it in it. Supposed to be thinking it in it. Supposed to be happy in that storm. People might look at you weird if you're whistling in the middle of a hurricane. But aren't we supposed to be?
Right.
Stop letting your situation dictate your faith.
Amen.
John 16. I love the humor of our Lord and the humor of Scripture that it gives us this. He gives these, we're going through the red letters at Moriah. Been in it for quite a while. Just to look at what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? By the way, you know he covered every one of our doctrines.
Amen.
Every one of them. And he never had to say propitiation. Maybe ministers should stop trying to preach like they're smarter than Jesus. I'm just saying. That's free. That's free of charge. So he gives this, he's given this pretty long admonishment or instruction here to the disciples. And we get down to about verse 29 of John 16. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. He's been speaking plainly to you from the get-go.
Right.
From day one. Complicated, deep theological things like follow me.
Yeah.
Now, verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Now look at Jesus' response.
Oh, you got this thing all figured out.
Well done, disciples. I'm going to go. And then he ascends up. No, he doesn't. Look at the sarcasm.
Right.
In what Jesus says here. Jesus says to them, do you now believe? You think you've got this figured out? Let me tell you something. The storms are coming.
That's right. Amen.
The storms are coming. That's what he's telling them. Mm-hmm. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come. By the way, some of us are in it right now. That you shall be scattered. That you should be scattered. You know, one of the worst things about 2020 was, I'm no good on my own.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, God didn't design us
Amen.
To be on our own.
Truth.
He made one guy and said, you know what? No, that ain't good. The only thing that wasn't good, by the way, it is not good that man should be alone.
Amen. Well said. Amen.
It is not good that the church should be scattered.
That's right.
It ain't good.
Amen.
But he's telling them, the storm is coming. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. Every man to his own. You know what the worst thing about fear is? We tuck in, and we think about us.
Yes.
Think about us. I love you people. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But if there's only one pack of toilet paper left, I'm going to elbow you in the face.
Yeah.
Hadn't we seen it?
Yeah.
We've seen it. God have mercy on us.
That's right.
God have mercy on us. Fear is a horrible thing.
Amen.
It'll make you do some horrible, horrible stuff to people that you love.
Amen.
He's telling those disciples, you think you're something? I mean, you're going to scatter. You're going to be terrified. You're going to forget everything I've told you.
Yeah.
That's why the Spirit's got to come later and remind you of it all.
Right.
Remember the boasting Peter just did not just a couple of chapters ago? Look, I don't care who leaves, but I got you back. I'm not going anywhere. Remember what he tells Peter? Not only are you going to deny me, you're going to deny me three times tonight. My goodness. Scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Here is a promise from Almighty God. This is a promise from Almighty God. We sung it. Standing on the promises. Here's one for you. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Why are we surprised when it comes?
Amen.
Did he keep it a secret? Is this book all about prosperity and everything's fine? And if you follow Jesus, your light bill will get paid. It ain't none of that. Have you read Hebrews 11 lately?
Thank you.
These all died in faith.
Amen.
Did they have faith? Yep. What happened to them anyway? Wow. Well, you don't want to preach that on a Saturday morning. We don't want to hear that. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But cheer up, buddy. Cheer up, buddy. Car's going to break down. Right? Why can't your car battery die on a perfectly clear sunny day?
Thank you.
You know, the one scientific thing that we cannot deny is something's wrong with the planet.
Right.
I don't know why people hadn't figured that out.
Right.
I don't know why they hadn't figured that out. Your battery will never die until you need it.
Amen.
It ain't dead now. You don't need it. It'll die when you need it. It's that kind of thing. Why is it I buy batteries, put them in the drawer. If I don't use them, they're dead. They just lay there and die. Isn't that something? And don't do this, by the way. But have you ever just sat around and thought about how bad the world is?
Right.
I'm not talking about the people. We won't even get into them. I'm talking about the world.
Amen.
You remember what God told Adam? Cursed be the ground. Where does everything come from? Everything. Everything comes from the ground. If it came from the ground, it's cursed. Those pews won't last forever. You know, some of them probably had to have been repaired by now. There's some squeaks, and we walk across the floor, and we can hear some stuff happening to the building, that kind of thing. The whole world's cursed. And in this cursed world, you shall have tribulation. Cheer up, buddy. Cheer up, buddy. And then, in Luke chapter 10... He's going to flip it on us. In Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 70. Remember this? By the way, it's not good that man should be alone. He sent them out in pairs.
Right. Amen.
I mean, just think about that. Is that an accident or is that a design? Gives them all this power. Sends them out. About verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy. Finally they've got it. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. By the way, I would have been a horrible, horrible apostle. I'm just telling you. I know me. First of all, if I have the power to raise the dead, I'm winning that one.
Right.
I'm winning that one. I'm bringing everybody back. So when we meet at the disciple meeting, or whatever the case is, got 27 on the way here. I would have not been good with that kind of thing. And then, of course, being able to call down fire on your enemies.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those. I'm Christian. Wow. But these guys, they'd be given all this power. By the way, they didn't have to believe to have this power.
Right.
Did y'all catch that? They didn't have to have faith to have this power. Who was the guy? Was it Peter or Paul that walked down the street? He ain't believing nothing. He's walking down the street and his shadow is healing people. Remember that? That's power. That's power. And they're happy. They're finally happy. The disciples are happy. The word joy is in there. Look that up sometime in a dictionary. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You know what he says? Y'all chill out. Wait a minute. Chill out. You told us on three occasions. To a crippled guy. In the middle of a storm. In the promise of all these tribulations. Cheer up, buddy. And now we're happy. And you tell us to chill out? Y'all see this? That's what he says. Look at the first thing he says, by the way. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know what he's saying right there?
Yeah.
Not got time to go into it. I'm the man.
Right.
Yeah. I am the one.
Amen. Yeah.
I am the ultimate. Never forget where your source of power came from. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. You know, this gets people real nervous because we don't want to hear people think that God can do stuff, you know, and get too sovereign, I guess, as the case is. But there's been places in Scripture when God told somebody they were going to go somewhere else, they were immortal till they got there.
Right.
Y'all get that? If God told somebody he was going to go somewhere else, he can't be killed till he gets there.
Right.
He's going to do what God told him to do. That's what he's telling them here. Can't nothing hurt you right now. Not right now.
Right. Amen.
Notwithstanding, don't be rejoicing in that.
Right.
But we finally found something. We was just over at the cemetery having a great time. And then you take it away. Rejoice not. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Wow. Now let me give you the thing. Because here's the thing. We're going to get to leave early. To the guy with palsy, be of good cheer. To the folks under the storm, be of good cheer. To us, in a world guaranteed tribulation, be of good cheer. And then to these guys, while they're with joy, telling them not to rejoice, what do they all have in common? Situational faith. Situational faith.
Right.
Their situation is dictating their faith.
Right.
Too often. I'll just talk about me. Too often my situation dictates my faith. What should dictate our faith? Our real situation.
Amen.
Our real situation. Now, what did he tell the man with palsy? Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven.
Right.
Will that ever change?
No.
That is absolute.
Amen.
That is absolute. Remember what Paul said over there in the end of Romans, Romans 5, I think it is, where sin did abound? Grace outdid it. Grace did much more abound. This is a scary truth, but let me tell you anyway. You can't out-sin grace.
Amen.
You can't out-sin it.
Amen.
There's already grace to cover it. Your sins are forgiven forever. They were laid on Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven.
Right.
To the folks in the storm, be of good cheer. It is I.
Yes, right.
Be not afraid. We live in a world of leaving things. For about 2 weeks, my back left. And I just had to lay somewhere waiting for it to come back. Our loved ones leave us. Money talks that says, see you later.
Right.
All these leaving things. But God said, be content with such things as you have. For I have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is God a liar? He is not. Be of good cheer. It is I. I'm here. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Told them folks over there in John. Guarantee it's going to be tribulation. Guarantee it. And it's going to come. I mean, it's going to come in ebbs and flows. I mean, it's going to come wave after wave. Remember them folks over there in Ecclesiastes 12? It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because you're going to forget. The evil days are coming. Evil days are coming. I love a nice rain, but I like that the sun shows up and the humidity gets about 850 for a little while in Georgia, and then it dries it all off and it goes, and you get this sunny day and the birds are chirping. Those folks in Ecclesiastes 12, those clouds just keep coming. They just keep coming. Do you see them mentioning Jesus anywhere in there in the evil days? They don't have it. Remember now, thy Creator. These evil days are coming. And he says, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because the world is bigger than you, but it's not bigger than me. I have overcome the world. I've overcome everything the world threw at me. I love that temptation in the wilderness thing. I remember the story, and some of you probably heard it, and one of you maybe even told it to me. the story about they built this bridge over this river, and they pulled these two locomotive engines out onto the bridge nose to nose. And somebody standing there said, "Did you do that to see if it would fall?" And they said, "No, we did it to prove it won't."
Right.
Jesus was not tempted in the wilderness to see if he would fail.
Right.
To see if he would fall, to see if he would give in. That was done to prove he can't. You can't break him.
Amen.
He has overcome the world and everything in it.
Amen.
Shouldn't that make us a little happy?
Yes, sir.
It should make us a little happy. Then in Luke 10. By the way, I'd still like to have some of that power. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I got to be honest with me. Raising the dead, healing folks, just healing folks. That calling down fire thing, I don't need to have that, by the way. I'll never need to have that. But he told them in that, "I've given you power." Look, I was there. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I am the one from the beginning. Remember what he says in the end of Matthew? "Most of the power is given unto me."
No.
Does it? He didn't say that? All power is mine.
Right, amen.
By the way, anybody, anywhere, at any time, with any sort of power.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
The President of the United States? Where's he getting that power from? There's only one source of power.
Right.
All of it belongs to God. Amen. Every power we get, we should treat it as though it's from him, because it is. But he tells them over there, don't rejoice in this power I've given you. You know why? It's temporary.
Right.
It's temporary. Your situation is temporary. The storm's temporary. All the trials and tribulations of this life are temporary. But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. By the way, I love telling people that. People, this, as much as many of them as will hear me, me and God go way back. I'm telling you. You know how long he's known me? You know how long he's known you? Because it says your names were written there before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
By the way, what was before? No time up there.
Right.
You're a long time ago. Your names are written in heaven. Question: do they make an eraser big enough to take those names away? Situational faith. We all have it. We all have it. But here's the thing about your situation. It changes. Sometimes we're on the top of the mountain. Sometimes we're in the valley, which, I'm a realist, that just means you're between two mountains. I mean, it just means another mountain should be coming anyway. But our situation changes all the time. There's a verse over there. I wish I could remember where it was at. It's just one little line. I think it's over there around the fig tree thing when he curses that fig tree. He tells his disciples, "Have faith in God." Isn't that a great statement? Have faith in God. And well, since I'm up here, let's fill some time. Stop trusting in the temporary. If we can just win one more election,
sure.
If we can just get this guy in office, one more.
Stop it.
No.
Amen.
If I can just get this much money in the bank,
no.
I'll just figure out a way to take it.
Right.
They'll just raise taxes on it. There'll be a new bank fee you didn't know about. Oh, there's a holding fee when your account goes past this. We're taking half of it. You laugh. Stop trusting in the stuff that's temporary.
Yes.
Stop being changed and dictated by the stuff that's temporary.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Trust Him. Be of good cheer because He is absolute And he absolutely loves his own.
Amen.
And will always be with us. Thank you for your attention.
Amen. Amen.